Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And you can see the very beautiful face of our dear, close, longtime personal friend, the anchor, the host, the man over at CBS 13. Ladies and gentlemen, he has been waiting for this appearance for several days. He can now yell at me on the radio and on the stream as opposed to just through the text. Marshall Harris, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. But the thing is, Danny, you never wild out in real, like, on this, like you do when I'm listening. When I'm listening, I'm like, what is going on? Like, what is?
There was multiple.
When we get in here, actually on the Twitch, on the little streaming services you got, you're perfectly fine and normal. You know why? Hear what I got to say about certain things, so you don't even bring it up.
What were you all worked up? You were all worked up because I said maybe Memphis shouldn't want to win these games against the Kings.
Yeah,
that's it.
I don't want to see the Lakers and Marshall.
You don't have to be an analytics specialist to understand that two shots are greater than one. You don't.
That's not our problem. Our problem is getting the Kings in there.
Yeah, and as I told people at the beginning of the week, I said it is way more likely, or even with three games left, it is way more likely that the Kings lose one of these games than the San Antonio Spurs wins one of these games. I fully expect San Antonio to lose all the games, but ask the Kings minus Tyrese Haliburton, De'Aaron Fox, Harrison Barnes, and then Marvin Bagley on top of that to win a game, and then another game. And then another game, y'all asking for weight. You understand Justin James out of Wyoming, second round pick, Maybe he was a second round pick. No, he's second round. He's the first of two second round picks. How deep in his bag did he have to go?
Deep.
In order to keep the Kings, like, in the game. Like, y'all were talking a minute ago about Shemezi Metu, not a minute ago, but several minutes ago, about Shemezi Metu throwing up all those threes and just keeps shooting and all that. What do you think Justin James is doing? Like, what? So for the Kings to even be in a position before, of course, they just literally ran out of gas at the end of the game, that's a win for Luke Walton's club. Like, them boys have no business.
Boo! Wrong! That is false. What are you getting a win for Luke Walton's club, Marshall?
No, I'm not saying a win like they obviously didn't win the game. I'm saying to see them playing that hard
season
when everybody else is signed off.
No, false.
Tell me more, Damian.
They had a chance to win that game. They played.
Yes, and they didn't. And they didn't. But the effort was there. You know what? I'm going to say this real, real slow and simple so everyone listening can understand what I'm about to say.
Don't do that. You're talking to me. You're not addressing everybody else. You said this to me.
No, everybody else who irrationally believes that, like, the Kings should have won the game.
They were in position. They played well enough to win that game for 46 minutes.
Let me ask you a question. Where was that same effort and energy from the five guys I didn't see on the court? Well, I'm not going to say five. The four guys I didn't see on the court on a night-in-night basis leading up to the final 2 weeks of the season.
I don't know.
If you just play that energy half the time, there are not two nine-game losing streaks.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I've learned watching this team as currently constituted, the roster that actually will play tonight in Memphis? Maybe the guys watching on the sidelines could take maybe – some of their lead and play with their hair on fire and not look too cool and too cute sometimes.
That's facts.
Okay.
Is that fair?
That's facts.
So, but like, let's talk about this. Are you talking about De'Aaron? Does De'Aaron not play hard enough?
I don't think anyone doesn't play hard enough. I just want to see the same level of energy that I saw from these second and third string NBA players, guys who were on two-way contracts not but a couple of weeks ago. And I get it. Y'all paid. Y'all got your contracts. Maybe they need to be reminded of what it's like when you don't have everything guaranteed for you financially. And I didn't think I'd be the one saying this, but I think it has to be said.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right.
Anybody over there in the chat group disagree with what I'm saying right now?
Hey, Marshall, you're 100% right. And you guys know I love De'Aaron Fox. I think De'Aaron Fox plays hard. I think Harrison Barnes plays hard. I think Tyrese Haliburton plays hard. But the way they played without those guys, I'm not saying that you say, hey, I wasn't playing well, but if you're any of those guys that were on the bench, you got to be looking at yourself in the mirror and be like, I think I've been playing. At the very least, say, I think I was giving my best, but maybe there's another level. I need to see if there's another level, because these guys were out here outperforming us when we were out here. So even if I thought I was doing the most I could, maybe I wasn't, and I need to look for that other level. I agree.
And, like, early in the season, I would have been like, well, maybe the game's moving too fast. They're trying to learn new defensive concepts, whatever. You know, got to play on the string, on defense, all that. But what I saw the last couple of weeks from these other guys is just guys like, hey, we may make mistakes, but they're going to be such aggressive mistakes that we make it. How many times in the last three or four games have you guys seen the Kings make a bad pass, turn it over, and get it back within 5 seconds just through sheer effort before the ball can even get across half court? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they need to be looking themselves in the mirror, man. But this is kind of the conversation that we had earlier in the day. Is like, how many of those guys are really going to take that to heart? How many of those guys are really going to be like, you know what? Man, like, whether it's the guys outplaying them that were out there, whether it's being a joke, being looked at as a joke, as an organization, as a collective group around the country, around the sports world, how many are going to take that to heart and be like, and get pissed off for it? I can't even stand the guy, so I can't believe I'm going to repeat what he said, but Ray Lewis pissed off for greatness. Who's going to be pissed off for greatness?
And I think that what you're talking about right now, KC, that's what I don't know, because we've been so limited in terms of media access with everything being on Zoom now, and to get in a player's face asking questions about accountability is very different when you're in a scrum in the locker room or at practice versus the way I'm talking to you guys right now virtually. It's just different animal. I don't know if you guys saw Sam Amick's piece with Draymond Green where he interviewed him. And he just talks about at the beginning of that how you don't have the access that you used to have. And I'm not saying like we all need like big access all the time, but I feel like you can go in there with a certain thermometer of sorts and understand what the temperature of the room is when you're there in person, when you're dealing with guys after a loss, after a win, after the third loss in a row, after the fifth loss in a row, after the ninth loss in a row. Ooh, man. You can read the energy of the room. Mm-hmm. Straight up.
Yeah. We were talking, Marsha Harris of CBS 13 with us. We were talking just moments ago about tanking, and how tanking is more of a concept than an actual practice. Though if anybody could actually speak on it, it's you. Because you covered, as you have noted on a couple of different occasions here with us. You have. It's not a secret. You worked in Philadelphia. You covered that 10-win team. You covered the so-called process outside of Philadelphia, who the belief is, and perhaps the understanding is, and correct me if I'm wrong, they tanked, lost on purpose, didn't put forth their best effort for multiple years. That's not an actual... That's leading the witness. Sorry, Your Honor. Is that a practice you believe exists in the NBA?
Yes, except for the part about the not trying. Like, the players who are on the court are trying, period.
Of course. We're always talking about the organization.
But the organization can say, hey, these guys are playing tonight. These other guys aren't playing tonight. And maybe that would increase our odds. Like, dude, the best is Lou Dort. Go look at two players I love. Plumlee on Detroit and Lou Dort in OKC. If you go look at their game log, and I think even of late Corey Joseph's game log, like them not playing and being arrested throughout the last 3 weeks of the season. Yo, we're not messing this up. We're going to get a top five, top six pick. I think definitely a practice. Some teams are better at it than others. And I think if you want to really tank, you got to be all in, baby. You got to be able to go rock bottom with it. Like, some teams don't commit like the Sixers committed. Like, the Sixers let you know, you'll be able to judge us on our talent evaluation over a 3 to 4 year span because we going to have a top three pick every year, whether that's Joel Embiid or Markel Fultz or Ben Simmons.
Nerlens Noel.
Or, like, plenty of options to choose from. And the whole thing with the tanking is, you know, you don't need to tank to win. See the team that plays about an hour and a half to 2 hours south of us, depending on traffic. You just need to have good talent evaluation and have a highly malleable roster, one that's always ready to catch the star when the star becomes available, a la the Houston Rockets and OKC when they got James Harden. The roster ready to be manipulated, whatever needs to be done to pay somebody a max contract then and there. And that's what I believe are doing, are ready to do. It may not happen this offseason. It may happen in the middle of the season, but you got to be ready. And you don't have to get ready if you stay ready. And right now the Kings are going to have to make some decisions to make sure that they are indeed ready when that star player becomes available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think it works? Does tanking work?
Yeah, if you commit to it, it does work.
When has it worked?
What?
When has it worked?
It works when you commit to it for a span of 3 to 4 years and you have somebody smart and prudent enough to know what to do with those draft picks once you get them. It's like Sam Hinkie was beautiful in his explanation of it. You're just buying lottery tickets. Are you going to win all the time? No, but every lottery ticket you buy, you increase your odds. So just like the literal NBA draft lottery, they did it enough so they had however many lottery picks over the course of 4 years. And did they all work out? Absolutely not. But you only need to hit on one, maybe two, and you got yourself a contender if you know what you're doing otherwise in your organization. See, Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
Okay, that's two.
That's a tank. People forget Tim Duncan is the product of a tank job.
But number one, like it's been mentioned numerous times in the chat and on here, that was out of necessity. David Robinson was out for the year. They didn't see Tim Duncan at the start of the year and say, yo, David, don't play this year. David Robinson got hurt. A lot of their players got hurt. So they decided, all right, let's tank. That was a 1 year tank. You throw Philadelphia in there. Even if I give you that, that's two teams in the last almost 30 years that have tanked that it actually worked. Where else has it worked? It didn't work with the Knicks. We know that. Well,
you got to have a good front office that knows what they're doing in terms of talent evaluation. You go back to the Timberwolves teams that took, who was it, Johnny Flynn and who else above Steph?
Oh, Ricky Rubio.
Like, you don't need to have like a number one, number two, or number three pick, but like a top 10 pick, you should be able to do something there. At least a rotation player, the probability of an all-star. In terms of lottery picks, like the numbers don't lie, but you got to have good talent evaluation. De'Aaron Fox, yes, the book is still out on Marvin Bagley, correct?
It's debatable.
It is for me.
Are we giving up on Marvin Bagley?
I have.
One of us might be.
By one of us, do we mean you?
That'd be me, Professor Harris.
I have not hung up with the line on Marvin Bagley. Marvin Bagley still has the tools to be a star in this league. Now, whether he gets put in a position to do that and he takes advantage of his opportunities, that's another story for another day.
Now
he needs a foam roller. That's what he needs. He needs that new massage gun Kenny got.
He needs that massage gun for sure. But look, I'll say this though, Marshall, you're actually proving our point. Tanking is not what works. The evaluation of talent is what works.
Are we talking about tanking because we're talking about the Kings tanking? Because the Kings aren't.
The Kings definitely aren't tanking. No, we were having a conversation about, you know, there's a tanking crowd who's frustrated that the Kings got this far to come up empty. And they're like, yo, you should have, we could have gotten Cade. We could have gotten Jalen Green. We could have gotten we could have gotten all these guys if we had, you know, just lost more games and finished in the top four. That's what
you
we're
can't take with this roster. Like,
well,
like I said,
here's the other thing, though. Before you continue, you can't tank, like, even if we take this year out of it, you can't tank 14 years into a postseason drought. New York, or who did it? Philadelphia wasn't 14 years into a playoff drought. No, San Antonio wasn't 14 years into a playoff drought.
They were teetering that 7-8 position. It was like, do we want to be a mediocre basketball team, or do we want to get somebody who could take us to – it's a star-driven league. It's still a star-driven league. It's a star-driven league. Last team I remember that thought they could do it without the superstar was those Hawks that were the number one seed. What happened to them?
60 wins.
And then the last team that actually got away with it and did it were, of course, the Pistons.
Yeah.
You know, won it all.
Yep.
But, like, that's a long time ago, guys.
Yeah.
So you got to go far back to do it without a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go far, far back. And usually you got to have multiple superstars.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, real quick, KC.
I remember LeBron in L.A. without Anthony Davis by his side. I remember how that season ended.
Luke was the coach.
Mark, man, that is my man, Kenny Caraway, right there. You're listening to ESPN 1320 KIFM West Sacramento, KRXQ, HD2 Sacramento, and Odyssey Station, and driven by last year's Elk Grove Dodge. You can watch us on twitch.tv/ESPN1320, youtube.com/ESPN1320. Marshall Harris of CBS 13 with us. KC, I think you earned a blue bottle for that, man. I've got two blue bottles waiting for you, baby. That was a good one.
I threw a bone to those, you know, the Luke hating squad, you know what I mean? But the facts remains, though, LeBron did quit on that team.
He did not quit.
He tapped out. When LeBron was there, they were a top 14 in the West.
He got hurt. How's LeBron getting hurt quitting?
Because he came back when he kind of came back. Like, yeah, I'll get back.
Playoff mode activated.
Yeah, right.
See?
Right. See, Luke, when he has the horses, he's a solid guy.
Sorry. This is my bad. That was an accident. I didn't mean to hit that button. That's $10,000 fine.
Be careful. But look, man, I look at what goes on in this league, and you're right, Marshall, 100%. You need your stars. And you just got to be savvy with what you do. The draft is only one aspect of it, and just flat out losing to get a top pick, that I think it has worked in other ways a lot more than it is in just lose and tank. And like you said, Damien, you can't, we're past tanking. I could kind of care less about tanking at this point. I ain't seen the playoffs in 15 years. Like, get to the playoffs.
And what stings about this year, perhaps maybe more, or Kings fans, you guys tell me, because you guys have been dealing with the Kings for a lot longer of a period of time than I have, is they expanded the number of teams that go to the, you know, first of all, this ain't baseball or football where seven teams get into the playoffs. This is basketball, where more than half the teams get into the playoffs. And this year they said, here's the deal. 2/3 of all the teams will play in the postseason. 2/3. You got a 2 out of 3 chance of getting into the postseason. And now the Kings are like, for 15 straight years, we just couldn't even be, not even the top 50th percentile, you know, like when we used to do little standardized tests in school. I finished in the 70th percentile, or the Kings been finishing in the 20th and the 30th percentile. They need a new principal at their school, you know? Frustration from the fans. I feel so bad for Sacramento Kings fans. Nobody feels worse for you than I do. I promise you that. As someone who was not born and raised here and who has not suffered through the 15 years. Hey, I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. I know about long stretches of nothingness.
What's next? What do you think happens next?
I think Monty McNair figures out what he's going to do with a couple of these starters and makes decisions, and we find out about it from national writers who get beforehand, and we all sit back and wait as local media members. That's what I think.
See, media is just like they just wait for the Woj tweet so they know what's going on.
Look, and I don't think the Kings are that far away with this. I think if they had had this roster from the start of the season, they probably would be either neck and neck with, I mean, they're right behind San Antonio, neck and neck with San Antonio, or in the play-in. But it just didn't have the health to get it done at the end of the season. But if I told y'all at the beginning of the season that the Kings were within a game of a play-in spot with 2 weeks left and De'Aaron Fox wasn't going to play no more, what would you have told me? Oh, well, it was a good run. Like, they made it more interesting than it should have been. I will stick to that. I know Amy's mad about what I said about them.
No, that's not true. I agree with everything you said. That's what we were hoping for. Like, we've acknowledged this. We essentially, of course, we wanted them to win last night, but we got the outcome we wanted. The problem is, I just don't like the idea that, and I understand Rashawn Holmes went out after the second quarter last night. I just don't like the idea that they lost the game because of injuries. I don't like the idea that they lost the game because De'Aaron Fox wasn't there. They were up six with 3 minutes to go. New York had already won. They were already in a great position. They were playing good ball. Those final four or five possessions went to hell. They wound up being three-point shots or turnovers. It was disastrous execution at the worst possible time. It wasn't because of injuries. It was because of lack of execution. There was a shot clock violation out of a timeout, for God's sakes.
That's when I knew the game was over, actually, with the shot clock out of the timeout. And I was like, okay, this is a wrap. But I will say this. I was sitting there watching the game. I was like, look, they're going to have to make their move. Two times. They got two chances to make their move. Beginning of the second quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter. Because Ja Morant will not be on the floor doing ridiculous things, as we saw him do ridiculous things.
He'll never be on the floor doing ridiculous
things. He didn't go off. He just, like, played Ja Morant game. And the Kings, like, it's not like Jonas Valanciunas went for 35.
No, he was killing him.
He was really good, though.
Listen.
Dylan Brooks was killing him.
Jonas Valanciunas does. Outside of the 8-for-8 from the free throw line, everything he did in that game was textbook Jonas Valanciunas. If you too little, I'm about to go hard at y'all. And that's what he did. And he didn't, like I'm saying, he didn't take that many shots. So, at the end of the game, those 4 minutes you're talking about, Damian, I believe it was like 3:08 left when they had a 6-point lead after the Buddy Hield elbow jumper. Mm-hmm. Look, at that point, you looked on the floor, you saw all the personnel on the floor. The Grizzlies clearly had the better personnel on the floor. But you were hoping, hey, they'll play defense hard and they'll figure out a way to get it done. But that's when Memphis really locked in. No fault of the like, – I'm not saying you're not wrong about the Kings and their lack of execution on offense. But the other team has guys too, and they're better guys, period. Mm-hmm. They're better guys. And you're on the road. It was a good run. Can't be as mad about it as y'all are.
All right. I don't remember if I did. I say you're listening to
Marshall Harris.
Okay, all right. I was just going to tell everybody they're listening to D'Lo and Casey, but apparently I've already said that. You know that's Marshall Harris. So, Marshall, big believer in Marvin Bagley and Luke Walton. This Marshall Harris is.
No, whoa. We're not gonna do on a Friday is twist my words. We're not gonna do on a Friday. All I say, here's the one thing. If you remember nothing else that I have said about Marvin Bagley, remember this. We just got done talking about tanking. We just got done talking about stars. We're all in agreement the only way you get a star in Sacramento is by drafting him or trading for him. You just better make sure if you get rid of Marvin Bagley that he does not go elsewhere and become a star. Because the amount of egg on your will be Humpty Dumpty size, okay?
But I will say this. I will say this, though, Damian, my bad. I always talk about having this conversation at the end of the year, Monty and Marvin, they need to sit in a room and have a real conversation. And I'll tell Marvin this if I'm Monty McNair. I'll say, Marvin, we want you here. We want you here. All right? We want to make this happen. But let's be real. We don't need you here. We got a guy that came off the street in Jamezi Metu that produced – on the regular, about as good as you have ever produced.
Freeport to be
exact. There every night. So if you don't want to be here, let us know. We'll move on. If you do want to be here, let's figure something out. But don't get it twisted, Marvin. We don't need you to be successful out here. And he needs to have that kind of tone when that kind of talk with him. Like, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with not only the team, but your career? Your reputation and your career is on the line here.
Mr. Harris.
I have a question. The only question I have is the same question I had the last time you said the spill. Is Marvin Bagley Sr. going to be in the room when all this is said?
I'd
talk to Marvin Bagley Sr. I would.
Has anybody taken a peek at Big Marv's Twitter account today?
Oh, was he talking about?
Thanks to the great Jill Adge for hipping me to this. Yeah, just go take a look at Team Bagley.
Twitter fingers.
Take a look over at Team Bagley and just head over to the likes section and see what you find there. I know we like Marshall Harris. We like Marshall Harris, and we're so thankful that you join us every Friday. We know you got to get back to work.
Marshall, did you see this? This pass by Trey Lance's three-yard out route.
All right.
I can't wait.
Not now. I thought you were going to tell me about a pitch because, you know, that offense, there's a lot of pitching going on, a lot of option read, you know.
Kenny, this guy was 4 yards in front of him, and he put it on the numbers.
Kenny's watching highlights, and Marshall got to go back to work. Marshall, we appreciate you.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.